Here's quite possibly the next name to watch in motor racing. Rhianna Amira Hunt grew up karting alongside the likes of Liam Lawson, Matt Payne. She's been competing for Aston Martin in the GT4, getting invited to their elite motorsport academy. It made a move to the UK full-time, where she's now working on getting into the, as I was saying before the news, the F1 academy. Anyway, Rhianna Amira Hunt is with us from Britain. Very good morning to you.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
No worries at all. Tell me about Britain so far, the move, how it came about, and how you're settling in.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a big move. I thought moving to an English-speaking country would be a little bit more similar than it is, but I'm adapting well. I moved over here because I got selected to be part of the Aston Martin Driver Academy last year. So moved over here, kind of getting my pathway into the UK-Europe scene and racing.
Tell me about Aston Martin, what they did for you and how successful you were. I know how successful you were in one race, but just talk us through it.
Yeah, so I ended up winning a shootout in America with the Heart of Racing against 9 other females. We got a year of racing in GT4 SRO America, and we had a tough year of racing, but we ended it really, really strong with a few top 3 qualifyings, and we ended up with creating history in Indianapolis, being the first ever female duo to win the GT4 Vantage. So ending it on a big high, being able to kiss the bricks, it was an amazing feeling, and we want to get back there.
I happen, when you say Vantage, I don't want to show off or anything, I happen to have a Vantage. What's the difference between my Vantage that I'm driving and your GT4 Vantage?
Well, our GT4 race Vantage will be set up for race tracks. Yours is more of a road vehicle, so we've got a good old harness in and just some more race dynamics with race brakes and suspension. But GT4 is based on road cars, so they would be pretty similar apart from their, you know, FIA standards.
You are typical, I think, of most race drivers. You start in karts, you move your way on up. Eventually, you want to be in the F1 Academy. And that may well come your way very shortly. We'll talk about that in a second. What's the gap between jumping out of a kart and into, say, a Toyota 86?
It was a massive learning curve for me. I did it quite late. So I did it when I was about 21. Usually you make that jump at about 16, 17. But I had the help of a lot of people in New Zealand to get me from driving a go-kart well to driving a car well. Tim White, my engineer, helped me a lot. And I did my year with the Heart of Racing, but also with my sponsors, Golden Home, Southern Lakes, Edifice Property Group, and Dell ITM. They all kind of supported me, getting me some driver training to make that switch. It was all about adapting to car weights. It's very different to a go-kart. Go-kart's very small, very light, and the car was very heavy. So getting used to that was probably the biggest challenge.
I love the way you just rolled off your sponsors there, because that is one of the quintessential things about motor racing, isn't it? To be successful, you not only have to be fast, you got to have backing.
100%. It is a massive part, especially for, you know, us Kiwis coming over into the UK and Europe. You know, we get met with some big people with some big budgets, and having the backing, especially from home, is really special. I want to be able to create history for New Zealand as well as myself. And I've managed to do that a couple of 3 times now in karting, and then once in car racing. And you know, I've had Tony Quinn help me in the UK to race last year. It was the only way I got on track with him and Golden Home Southern Lakes. So, I mean, I can't thank them enough, and I hope that I'm doing them proud, and we can kind of carry on that relationship into F1 Academy.
Were you always fast? Were you instantly, automatically, and naturally fast?
The first day I got into the go-kart, we're a bit shocked. I actually had the throttle stuck on and we couldn't slow the go-kart down. So everyone was like, oh, she's so quick. She's handled this so well. Little did they know that the throttle was stuck on. But I did have a natural kind of talent from the start. I did get driver training from Ari Hutton and Ryan Urban for about probably 8 years between the two. So I did put the time and effort in to be able to adapt my skill. And we spent a lot of those years working closely with a trainer to be able to kind of be on that top edge of everybody else.
All right. Listen, let me ask you, Rhianna, the gender question, because I can't quite work it out whether, I mean, it seems to me in driving a car, I can't see the difference. I mean, maybe endurance racing is different. Maybe over, you know, many, many, many laps and hours, physical difference might be a thing. But the rest is mainly mental and skill, isn't it?
100%. I think once you put on a helmet, you're all equal, and that's what I love about racing. The only difference I would say with single seaters is an F2 and F3, they don't have power steering. So you do have to be quite a bit stronger than you would be in F4. That's really mainly the only difference. I mean, we just have to work a little bit harder to put on that muscle, but that's a part of the game, isn't it? You want to be on that top 1%, whether you're the top 1% in females or males. So for me, it's more about maximizing that, no matter the gender.
Have you done your sim at Silverstone yet?
No, that's tomorrow.
How is that, like, beyond exciting or not really?
It is. I honestly, I cannot wait. I've been in the sim all day today testing, and I can't wait. I haven't been behind the wheel of a car since November last year. So just being back in a full motion sim again has brought a massive smile to my face, and it's kind of, you know, made it more of a reality now. It's been a lot of behind the scenes work this year with networking, and now to be back focused on actually racing is a dream come true.
That's the thing I think most people don't understand about most motor racing. Motor racing is actually not a lot of motor racing, isn't it? It's a lot of other stuff and just a little bit behind the wheel. That must be at times frustrating.
Exactly. Yeah. For me, I mean, as I said, I haven't been in a car since November, and it's been about networking. It's been about getting my name out in the UK and Europe. It's social media, it's so important these days, even in racing. You know, you need to have followers for brands to want to work with you, or companies to be able to take note. So for me, that's what this year's been about, and it's been adapting to that new lifestyle. But I just cannot wait to get back in the car.
The full motion sim you mentioned, the difference between that and something some people would have, say, in their garage, how different is it?
It's crazy. It's, you know, I was in a completely separate room with glass and people on laptops looking at my data and my video as I'm doing it live to a reference lap time. So they can completely see exactly what I'm doing. There's no line. There's no mistakes. If you make one, they see it. And you're literally up in the air, kind of the car's going with you as you're turning. So it just makes it feel more realistic and what the actual thing is going to feel like for me on Thursday.
So here's the interesting thing. So you go from karts to 86s, there's a jump. You've never done single seaters before. What do you reckon the difference between, say, an Aston GT4 and single seaters is?
Between an Aston GT4 and single seaters, I think this difference of stiffness. The F4 car is a lot stiffer than a GT4 Aston. All the weight in a GT4 Aston is up high. We're pretty level to the axle in a single seater. So it's going to be about manipulating the car in a different way to get the weight to go forward and back. And that's what I've learned on this motion sim, is kind of manipulating that in a short space of time. Also, the F4 is a bit slower than the GT4. So it's about being able to get on power as quickly as I can out of a corner to maximize those long straights, especially around Silverstone GP.
What do you reckon, as you sit here talking to us this morning, what do you reckon, how far short are you of getting into the F1 Academy in terms of speed and skill?
I back myself. I think I can be there within a couple days on track. I am really looking forward to being able to kind of prove my adaptability, something that I've had to do my whole racing career because I haven't had much budget, is to go to a track I've never been to before on the race weekend and adapt to it as fast as possible. So I'm just going to be taking those learnings and doing the exact same thing with the car. You know, I love data, I love videos, so that's a big strong point for me. I can spend hours looking at it, so that's where I kind of pull that game up a bit.
Fantastic. If you haven't already seen it, there's a thing with Chris Harris and Max Verstappen, a video out at the moment. He can go to a track, he's up to speed, race speed within four laps.
It's insane. It's not bad. Honestly, yeah.
Well, listen, all the very best of luck. What have you got planned for the rest of the year beyond that? You busy?
Yeah, to me, it's just about trying to find some more budget to get into the car. So I want to be testing as much as possible within the next month. If I do well at the sim test, I get to be Hitech's last seat at the F1 rookie Navara test in September. So hopefully this goes well, and then we get on track as much as we can before September 18th.
Obviously, we wish you all the very best. Lovely to talk with you, and maybe we'll catch up before the end of the year.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Rhianna O'Meara Hunt out of Stratford-upon-Avon this morning. So there's a name to watch.